Genesis 4, verses 1 to 16. But first of all, a student was asked to list the Ten Commandments in any order. Could you do it? His answer, 6, 3, 1, 8, 4, 5, 9, 2, 10, and 7. Did he get away with that? I don't think so. But you notice that the student started with number 6. And commandment number 6, which you all know straight away as, I'll tell you, is probably seen as the most well-known, is probably seen as the most serious, is probably the one that should have the greatest punishment. Do you know it now? Of course. You shall not murder. Why? Why is it wrong to commit murder? Well, something that we've learnt over the past few weeks, looking at the first chapters of Genesis, is that life is from God. As simple as that. Life is from God. The first chapters of the Bible declare that God made heaven and earth and created men and women. Let's go back to Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Behind all this pictorial language lies the plain fact that life comes from God. But one thing we have learnt over the past weeks is that sin has damaged Adam and Eve's relationship with God and with each other. And so we move on to chapter 4. And in chapter 4 we see that sin spreads further. A family, the first family, is torn apart and violence escalates. Let's look more closely at these 16 verses from chapter 4. Verse 1, when Cain is born, Eve may be hoping that he will be the one who will crush the serpent's head. If you go back to chapter 3, verse 15, we see about this. And of course, that is Eve's hope. Cain, the firstborn, might be the one. But in Genesis, however, any hope for the future never comes through the firstborn son. We see that in all the stories. We'll see that in the weeks to come. And we see that Cain will strike his brother's head, not the serpent's. How wrong Eve was. So we read that both brothers bring an offering to the Lord, but Cain's is rejected. Not because he offers fruit of the soil in verse 3 rather than a blood sacrifice. If we read in Leviticus chapter 2, that grain is a perfectly acceptable offering. So why was it wrong? It was because Cain's attitude was wrong. God knew what was on his heart. While Cain simply brings some of the fruits of the soil, Abel brings fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Abel offers the best he has. But in verse 7, we find that sin is like a wild animal lurking at the door of Cain's heart. And Cain has this important decision to make. He can choose whether or not to allow this wild animal in or not. Paul, reflecting on this passage in Romans 7, verse 11, found that in his experience, this same wild animal charged in at the first opportunity, and he says, Paul says in his words, put me to death. Sin can do that. He did it to Cain. He can do it to each one of us too. It can take a stranglehold. It can come in and ruin our lives. Even though we know that, did Cain? Cain still had the opportunity to do what is right, as we read in verse 7, but it's an opportunity he chooses to spurn. As we read in verse 8, he erupts into violence. He rose up against his brother, his own brother, and killed him. Note how often the word brother is used in verses 8 to 11. I think the writer's doing that just to emphasize the enormity of the crime. After Adam's sin, the Lord asks, "Where are you?" After Cain's sin, he asks, "Where is your brother?" And in both instances, we have the denial of guilt. Verse 9, "I don't know," says Cain. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And compare that with Adam's response. He said, "The woman whom he gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate. It's not my fault, nothing to do with me." Putting the blame on someone else. Does it sound familiar? How many times are we guilty of saying that? There are comparisons all the way through. There's the cursing of the ground, verses 11 and 12 in this chapter. Compare that with chapter 3, verse 17, with Adam. The banishment from the presence of God, east of Eden, in verse 16 of this chapter. Compare that with chapter 3, verse 24. We see in both instances how sin takes hold. This wild animal coming in, being let in, by the people who committed those sins. The sin of Cain reflects and even goes one stage further, the sin of Adam. We see the sin, we see the guilt of the two men, and we go on to see the judgment and the punishment from God. But we see something else in these accounts. We also have a sign of God's grace. Chapter 3, verse 21 for Adam. Adam was given a garment. And in verse 15 of chapter 4, we read that Cain was given a mark which forbids anyone from killing him. A sign of God's grace. So why do we need this story about Cain and Abel? Is it just to illustrate how bad some people can get, feel sorry for them, and think, "Well, that's nothing to do with me"? I think it's rather to emphasize that every one of us could end up like Cain. Think back. For some of us, it may be further back than others. Growing up with a brother or a sister, and thinking some of the time, "I hate them." Or thinking, "I could kill them." We may smile about it now, but just think back. At the time, we were maybe hurting. The other person might still be hurting. Why? Let's look back at Cain again. Cain became annoyed. Again, it rings bells with us. His pride was hurt. We notice that God here both offered Cain the possibility of change and warned him of the peril his anger was leading him into. We can today follow these warnings. If we let our anger, our temper, get out of control, it may not lead to murder, but it could. Or it could lead us to lose someone close to us and perhaps we've never said sorry to. It could lead us to situations on the road when we get behind that wheel, when we feel we just must get our own back on somebody else. It could happen at work. It could happen at home, where anger just takes over. We saw that one of the things that made Cain's anger burn was that he couldn't handle the fact that his younger brother was preferred over him. His previously superior position as the firstborn was overturned. He couldn't cope with it. His self-worth seems to have been based simply on his status. He was jealous, and so he became angry. Angry enough to kill his own brother. A proper self-respect is the key to managing our anger properly. Self-respect means that we are secure enough in ourselves to know when we are in the wrong, to admit to that, and humble enough to say sorry to the other person. How do we think about ourselves? How do we think about the people we are really angry with? On the one hand, because God made us in his image and loves us, we are of very great worth. When we do that, we learn to forgive. We learn not to bear grudges. But it's not easy, because sometimes we let our self-worth go down, and anger takes over. And so in all our disputes, the Bible works on the principle that God is a just judge, and he is in charge of handing out punishment in due time. We may never murder someone, we may never bully someone, or cause tremendous grief to someone. But if we wish something bad, or think badly, or curse someone, or tell lies against someone, we can be as bad as Cain. But God, again in his grace, even though we don't deserve it, gives us a way of being forgiven from our thoughts, our words, and maybe actions that really, truthfully, honestly deserve God's punishment. He did it by sending his son Jesus to be murdered himself, so that we could begin life that comes from God. That death allows us to be transformed from those who hate and whose desire is to take life and share that life with the world around us is something we need to take hold of this evening. Never in the last 2,000 years has that witness been more needed, because we see death in so many situations. We've seen death in families, on our streets, because anger takes hold. People forget about their self-worth and let that wild animal come into their lives and take over. One thing I'd like us all to do now is just, maybe if it helps, close our eyes and just ponder this chapter. We may be ready to condemn Cain for being the first murderer, or we may be open and honest and say, there's something in my life that's made me like a Cain. That hate, that anger, maybe from childhood, maybe from our earlier days, maybe even from today, where we haven't had a sin forgiven, where we haven't opened ourselves to God and say, I'm sorry for thinking that, for doing that about someone else. We have an opportunity in this communion service to come to the foot of the cross and confess that unconfessed sin of hate, of anger. May we take the opportunity, as we come forward, to seek God's forgiveness. Maybe to talk in the prayer ministry, to think about those issues. Please don't go away from this building tonight without going to God, asking him for his grace and those things that need to be corrected in our lives. Even Cain received grace from God. We too can receive his grace. Let's just pause as we pray in silence.